Welcome to the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quilt Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dow, and we're reading my work-in-progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quilt Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Chapter 3. Florence showed up at her office early on Monday morning, at a time when most people were still just getting out of bed. After another night of almost no sleep, she'd considered hiding out at home and instructing her housekeeper, Daisy, to leave the door locked and the phone unanswered. But the idea of lying about the house all day doing nothing was so demoralizing that she'd left for work as soon as she'd gotten dressed. Daisy had been in the kitchen late Saturday afternoon when Florence entered in her dressing robe, having left her wedding dress in a silken puddle on her bedroom floor. "Could you make me some eggs?" she'd asked, startling the old woman, who was leafing through a gardening magazine at the kitchen table. "I'm famished." "I was going to bring a tray to your room," Daisy said, putting her magazine down. "Did you hang up your dress?" Florence shrugged. "Why bother? It will need to be cleaned, won't it?" "Yes, but you won't be doing it any favors if you don't care for it in the meanwhile." "I suppose," Florence said, taking a seat, "and it is such a lovely dress. I hate that I won't have another opportunity to wear it." Daisy gave her a long look before replying. "You don't know that. Canceling a wedding is not the same thing as canceling a marriage. You and Mr. Arthur might yet walk down the aisle." Florence shielded her face with her hands as though to block Daisy's words. She'd been resisting tears from the moment she'd slipped on her wedding dress and stared at herself in the dresser mirror, her thoughts a circling chorus of, "I'm not ready. I'm not ready." The words had come to her unbidden, and she didn't exactly know what she meant by them, only that she meant them. She'd been gazing at her stony-faced reflection when Thomas knocked and told her it was time to go to the church. "I'm not going to the church," she replied in a dull monotone. "Please tell everyone who's waiting to go home." She hadn't cried then, and she hadn't cried as she stepped out of her dress and left it abandoned on the floor. No, it wasn't until Daisy, who was typically taciturn and gruff, spoke kindly to her that Florence began to weep. What had she done? What had she been thinking? She'd spoiled everything. Daisy retrieved a dish towel from a drawer and handed it to Florence. "You go ahead and cry. You'll feel better when you're through." Staring at her desk on Monday morning, Florence didn't know that she felt better after a weekend of on and off weeping, but she did feel determined to get on with things. The matter with Arthur would take care of itself, she decided, willing herself to believe this was true. After she'd finished her eggs on Saturday, she'd written Arthur a note asking him not to call on her, requesting instead they have dinner the following Friday. Daisy's husband, Carl, had driven the note over and returned with a reply 30 minutes later. "My darling," Arthur had written, "I don't understand, but I want to understand. Let's dine at the Beaumont Inn at 7 p.m. Friday and talk it out." So maybe there was a way forward, if only she knew what road she wanted to be on. Well, one thing Florence could move forward with this very second was the Milton Falls Quilting Company's spring catalog. She had a wonderful piece by Eula about how to think about color. Emmeline and Bess had created several new patterns between them, and Dorothy had contributed a recipe for an easy dinner for quilters eager to get back to their quilting once the dishes were done. She needed to write her letter to her readers, which was her favorite of all her quilting company chores. She certainly preferred it to record keeping and billing. Fortunately for her, Dorothy's niece, Nettie, was a genius when it came to keeping the books squared away and getting the bills sent out in a timely manner. Thinking of Nettie, Florence sat back in her chair. Funny, she might be a married woman now if it weren't for Nettie. Well, if it weren't for Nettie's invaluable work, work that she'd been doing for far too little pay for far too long. Last week, when she and Arthur had been having dinner, beef and potatoes boiled nearly past recognition by Daisy, Florence had mentioned that she was going back and forth about Nettie's salary. Should she give the young woman a 10% raise or 15%? Arthur had balked at both figures. An annual 2% raise generally sufficed, he argued. If Florence felt especially strong about it, she might go as high as 5, but Arthur considered anything above a 5% raise foolish, especially for a secretary. Now, a floor manager who has been doing considerable overtime, I could see him getting a 5% raise, Arthur had argued. But Nettie doesn't have a family to support, and she doesn't have special training as a secretary. Or a bookkeeper, for that matter, though I must say she does an excellent job keeping the books. First of all, Nettie does have a family, Florence corrected him. But what does having a family have to do with anything? I'm paying her for the work she does. Yes, but her husband's work supports the family, Arthur argued. I'm sure he welcomes Nettie's financial contribution, but she's not the one the family relies on to pay the rent and buy the groceries. Well, what do you know about it? Florence said, her cheeks growing warm. And why are her family finances any of your or my concern? To his credit, Arthur did seem to consider this. I suppose I'm old-fashioned, he said finally. It's just women didn't work when I was growing up. Of course they did, Florence insisted. Women from families like ours didn't work, but women have always worked. Arthur looked startled for a moment and then laughed. I feel like I'm losing this battle on all fronts. You're just going to have to give me time to catch up on this new way of thinking. But I will hold to my opinion that a 5% raise is sufficient to reward a job well done. If you get another good year on the books, then give Nettie a bonus at the end of December. Florence appreciated that Arthur was trying to catch up, as he put it, but she'd begun to fear that he was simply too far behind. That fear had overwhelmed her on the day of her wedding. No, it had paralyzed her. It wasn't that she was afraid he would take over the company. Florence and Arthur had spent too many hours discussing how things would work between them when it came to the business for her to fear that. She believed Arthur when he said he wanted her to hold the reins, that his role would continue to be that of advisor. He had his own business to run, Purefoyle Textiles, and had no interest in adding a new concern to his portfolio. Emmeline had argued that Florence and Arthur should have a lawyer draw up a contract to ensure that the company would stay in Florence's name and under her control. But then Emmeline had always been terribly pragmatic. How else did a shopkeeper's daughter end up married to a man as wealthy as Thomas? Not that Emmeline had married Thomas for his money, or not exactly. It was more that she had narrowed down her list of possible suitors to men who would be able to support her in a manner she hoped to become accustomed to. Of that group, Thomas was the one she fell in love with. Perhaps she would have fallen in love with him even if he'd been poor, but she never would have married him. Florence was pragmatic too, but she didn't want a contract. She didn't need a contract. What she needed was a husband who shared her assumption about how a business should be run and how workers should be treated. Who shared her assumptions that women should be paid a fair wage. And maybe Arthur could be that husband one day. Maybe he would catch up. But to marry him before he had caught up to 20th century thinking would only invite strife into their marriage from the very beginning, and Florence simply couldn't abide the thought of it. She'd been a witness to her parents' unhappy marriage and wouldn't wish it on anybody. Her mother's sniping, her father's cruel comments made under his breath as he left the room. Daisy, who had been with the Grangerfield family before Florence was born, told her once that her parents hadn't begun married life at each other's throats, but over the years, all the small differences and dissatisfactions had evolved into an active and strong dislike for one another. No, she wouldn't risk it. She'd rather be a spinster than an unhappily married woman. After all, she had her own business, her own house, and her own money. If she wanted children in her life, she had 6 perfectly nice nieces and nephews to dote upon. Florence glanced at her watch. She still had an hour before Nettie would arrive, and she found she did her best writing when there were no distractions, or even the possibility of distractions. This was her first spring catalog, and she wanted it to hit exactly the right note with her readers. After tapping her pen on the blotter for a moment, she started to write. "Dear friends," she began, because she really did think of her readers as her friends, not as potential customers. "Looking out my window at the gray churning waters of the Ohio River, it's hard to believe that we're only a few short months away from spring, that most felicitous time of year. Will you be planting a spring garden? Even though we have snow on the ground here in Milton Falls, my dear friend Eula Baker has already begun drawing detailed plans for her garden beds. She's fortunate to have her young niece Maisie by her side to advise, and later to dig. A country woman at heart, Eula will plant enough flowers to keep her vases filled all summer, but she'll also plant vegetables aplenty, which she'll can and preserve for the cold winter months. You'll find Eula's thoughts on flower gardens and choosing colors for your quilts in the pages of this catalog. As always, she has much to teach us. I must confess that I don't have much of a green thumb, but fortunately many of my friends do. Perhaps I'll look at it their wonderful garden beds as I'm selecting fabrics for some of the quilt patterns featured in these pages. I think you'll love Emmeline's latest contribution to our collection of darling quilt patterns. She's named her quilt Sweet as Sugar and recommends a pink and white color scheme. Bess's applique quilt is perfect for any nursery. She calls it a red calico boat on a blue gingham sea. As recent events in my life have reminded me, working on a quilt is always a balm. Florence put down her pen. She wasn't working on a quilt, and she felt a bit like a charlatan suggesting that she was. Still, that was easily rectified. She'd had an idea for a new quilt, a sort of hidden bow tie design in which the bow tie blocks were set on point and the bow ties themselves were a dark blue or gray. When better than now to sketch it out and begin cutting? After all she had to do was walk up to the third floor and search through the bolts of fabric in the storeroom and then carry them down to the work tables on the first floor. It had been far too long since she'd made a quilt, and perhaps that was unwise. Florence felt that part of the quilting company's success was that everyone involved loved making quilts. She didn't want to get too far away from the heart of what made her business successful. A knock sounded on her office door. "Just letting you know I'm here, Miss Grangerfield," Nettie called from the hallway. "Anything you want me to do first thing?" Florence smiled as she rose from her desk to greet her secretary. "Come in, Nettie. There's a matter I've been wanting to discuss with you for some time now. I think it's about time I gave you a raise, don't you?" Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.